On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Assembly Republicans, they introduced a package of bills that would make sweeping changes to K-12 education and perhaps most notably break apart Milwaukee Public Schools into a bunch of smaller districts. That's part of the package that would expand the number of charter schools and offer private school vouchers to all students, regardless of family income. Should Milwaukee's school district be broken up? What should DPI do to turn around declining test scores and close the achievement gap between black and white students? 800-642-1234. Republican Representative Jeremy Thiesfeld of Fond du Lac chairs the Assembly's Education Committee. He's a former teacher. Representative Thiesfeld, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, before we get to the classroom, you announced recently that you won't seek re-election this year. Why step aside now?
I've been in the legislature for 12 years. Mm-hmm. This is year number 12. And I'm 55 years old. And when I entered the legislature, you always get the questions about why you want to be a legislator and how long you plan on staying. And I have said consistently from the beginning that I was going to go back to teaching. And an opportunity has arisen, actually at the school that I previously taught at before I was in the legislature. And it was an opportunity I couldn't pass up. And I'm back serving them on a part-time basis right now. We actually have off of school today.
Well,
so I get to be today.
That's interesting, too, because you were a teacher. You also did some coaching. You did some work as a principal as well, if I recall.
Yeah, I did spend 1 year as a principal of an elementary school. My congregation has a K-8 school, mm-hmm. and they got stuck in the summer without a principal and asked me if I would fill in for a year. So I was able to have that wonderful experience as well. But the school I'm going back to is a high school, and I'll be in the administration as guidance counselor and doing the scheduling, I guess the registrar is what you might call that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be doing some teaching as well starting next school year.
Well, with that in mind, let's look at this package of bills. First of all, dismantling the Milwaukee Public School District. This has come up before, and there is a lot of tension around this. Why do you support breaking up the district?
Well, I think it's pretty clear that Milwaukee Public Schools has been in crisis for quite some time. When you have the most heavily funded school district in the state, and it's the largest school district in the state, and they keep producing scores that are subpar and are amongst some of the worst in the country. We have schools in Milwaukee Public School District that have almost no students who are proficient in reading. That is a crisis. And there have been numerous attempts to change things over the years, but they have been unsuccessful. But one thing that has not been tried is breaking them up into smaller districts with the hope that smaller can be better, giving parents more of an opportunity to have better representation by a school board. Because right now, the Milwaukee Public School Board, they are in charge of all of the schools, all of the public schools in Milwaukee. And by breaking it up into smaller groups of districts, you are going to be able to have more representation, different representation for families across Milwaukee. And you also have the opportunity for you have more opportunity for more opportunities for students. So I think it is really important that we take a serious look at this. I have my doubts that the bill is going to become law because I'm pretty certain Tony Evers is going to veto it. But it's a discussion we should start having.
Well,
and even though even though I'm not going to be here next session, I think it's an important thing, discussion to continue next session.
And I appreciate that. Digging in a little bit more here, how do you see a breakup as a solution to the poverty issues going on, the equity issues, the overall need of resources to live and to learn? How would a breakup into smaller districts be a solution to those, real basic needs in the community?
Well, I would answer that in two ways. Number one, I do not believe that poverty necessarily means that you are going to be a poor student. I just don't accept that notion whatsoever. Just because you are a poverty-stricken family, perhaps, doesn't mean that you are not as good of a parent and care less about your children. And so we need to give these parents a different way of doing things, because what's going on is not working. You know, we're obviously not going to be able to change the economic makeup of Milwaukee just by splitting up the school districts. But what we're doing now is simply not working. And by getting some people together from a wide variety of backgrounds who have experienced changes in schools, perhaps in different parts of the country, seeking expertise from those types of people, we're going to be able to come up with a plan. And I'll remind everybody that the plan's not coming from the legislature. Okay, the legislature is just directing the breakup, and then the plan would be coming from a group of people who would put the plan together, experts and so forth, and then they would look to implement it. And so I'm not going to continue to allow MPS to just simply reorganize the deck chairs on the Titanic and continue doing the same thing that they've been doing essentially for years. There must be change, and this is an idea that has some possibilities of success, and we owe it to the parents to give it a try.
Talking with Representative Jeremy Thiesfeldt from Fond du Lac, chair of the Assembly's Committee on Education, as we look at a package of bills affecting K-12. You can join in, 800-642-1234. So along the lines of you saying we need to do things differently and give more power back to the parents, this parental bill of rights, this would allow parents essentially also to sue government bodies for interfering with their child's education, with their child's health care, or their upbringing, mental health. Why do you think this bill is necessary?
Well, any time you have a situation where schools are essentially ignoring basic rights of parents, we have schools that are deciding that students have to we have schools where students are able to identify their own gender, and then the schools are keeping it secret from the parents. You know, if there's anything that would be a basic right of a parent, it's when sensitive issues like that come forward and they do not make the effort to inform the parents who own this child, essentially, and are keeping that basic information from them.
Well, aren't you concerned about outing children? But aren't you concerned about outing children who come out as gay or transgender at school before coming out in their own homes?
I believe that my biggest concern is that children belong to their parents, and parents are the ones who have their children's best interests in mind. Schools are not parents. Parents don't need to be co-parenting with the government, which is essentially what public schools are. They're government schools. And that is an abomination to me that a school would make sensitive decisions like that without consulting with parents.
There's also a property tax credit in this bill. What is that about?
That is my bill, actually. The property tax credit bill is aimed as an encouragement to schools who made the decision to go virtual for more than 10 days in the second half of the current school year. So from January 1st, essentially, to when school year closes in May or June. If they made the decision to do that 10 or more days, the property taxpayers of that particular district would receive essentially a rebate on their property taxes. And this is being done because schools, it has been shown, it is not necessary for them to go virtual. There are mitigation efforts that can be made. And there needs to be a really, really good reason for them to go virtual when we know the damage in particular that this has been doing to students across the state and across the nation. And so this is an encouragement for them to not take that measure, but instead use the massive amounts of federal funding that were given to the schools to make mitigation efforts so that they can keep those students in school.
Let's bring on a caller now. Rosa is joining us from Waterford. Hi, Rosa. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. So my sister received a job offer in one of the northern areas of Milwaukee in the library, and she was told by the principal she was hired. She waited 3 weeks for, he says, a letter from or package from HR would be forthcoming, and she waited three some weeks. She received a letter saying, thank you for interviewing, but you did not get the offer, and she was just shocked. So she quickly scrambled around, found another job in a few days. Then she called the principal of that high school, and he said, oh, that was a mistake. And then he said, I always have problems with HR. So the bottom line, I agree with you. It needs to be broken up. Even HR can't handle the massive amount of employees they have to deal with. They're making mistakes.
Rosa, thank you for bringing that to the forefront here. Representative Thiensfeld, do you feel like smaller districts would be able to handle more HR responsibilities in a more streamlined way?
Well, I think bigger is not always better. We get caught up in that sort of thing. And I've served in small schools because I've served in private schools in my teaching experience. I think the biggest school that I served in is the one that I'm currently at. It's a high school. It's got just over 300 students. When I taught elementary, the biggest school I was in was about 150 students. That was K through 8. The smaller the situation, I believe the more responsive you are to the families that are involved. You're much more than just a number to the faculty and the administration when your numbers are smaller. And so I think that is one of the key possibilities is that it gets to be much more of, you might say, a family-friendly environment. And when you have these massive bureaucracies, which I would describe MPS as being that, you become more distant from the customers, which are the parents.
We're discussing a package of Republican-authored bills that would expand vouchers, break apart Milwaukee public schools, as we've been talking about, create a parent's bill of rights, making, among other items in the package, with Republican Representative Jeremy Thiensfeld of Fond du Lac, chairs the Assembly's Committee on Education. You can join in. Have you debated whether to enroll your child in a charter school? How did you arrive at that decision? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're discussing a slate of Republican-backed K-12 education bills. The state's top education official, State Superintendent Jill Enderle, said in a statement Thursday in response to the Assembly's Education Committee hearing, quote, the legislature is proposing bills that will do nothing to help our public schools. They're proposing bills that are intended to divide us, to pit parents against teachers. How do you feel about these bills? What stands out to you that is helpful or harmful to your child's educational future? Still time, 800-642-1234. Representative Jeremy Thiensfeld, chair of the Education Committee, with us for about nine more minutes. We heard from Amy in Galesville, called in, couldn't stay with us. And Amy said that the parents don't own their kids. And Amy is concerned the parents' Bill of Rights does not have enough in it for the child's input. How do you feel about that? What would you say to Amy?
Well, I want to make sure I heard you say that the parents don't own their kids. Did I hear that correctly? If that was the case, I guess I don't understand that. I mean, I'm not looking at this in terms of like ownership. Okay, you want to buy something, but children belong to their parents. And so right off the bat, if that's what she says, I think that we're going to have a strong disagreement there. Children are children, and they are in need of parenting. And whether a school thinks that they know better than what a parent does, that is not an option. You know, the parents are the ones who are responsible for their children's education. The school is there to assist the parents in the education of that child. So if that's what you really said, I think we're going to have a strong disagreement right off the bat.
Well, when I read the Parental Bill of Rights, I feel like this bill is almost exactly what Florida's lawmakers passed and their governor signed into law last year. Did you look to Florida to model this legislation?
Don't recall exactly who the author of the bill is. I was not involved in putting the bill together, but it's not unsurprising that legislators look to other states, just as other states, I'm sure, look at things Wisconsin is doing.
Mm-hmm.
The reason you need to reinvent the wheel on all this stuff, if something is a good idea in one state, why not give it a try in another state? And as far as those Bill of Rights, I would challenge anybody to read over the list of the 15 points and tell me one thing that is in there that they disagree with.
Let's go to Dan now in Appleton. Hi, Dan.
Hello. I had a thought that occurred to me when you were discussing the property tax credit for people who are impacted by the schools. And I was wondering if there's any maybe more effective means of targeting that population, given that a portion of the people who were impacted may be renters and may not actually see the benefit of a tax credit, specifically those, you know, maybe in urban environments.
Dan, thank you for that. Representative Thiesfeld.
I would have to review the bill once again. We had the hearing on it last week, but if my memory serves me correctly, I believe that there is something in there regarding a property tax credit for renters. And if that is not the case, that certainly is something that I would consider.
Dan, thank you. Chris now in Milwaukee. Chris, go ahead.
Hi. I think it's fine if you want to not give schools money because they weren't open, but I want to claw back the money from a do-nothing legislature that was known for not being open. You guys did less than any other legislature, I think, in history, and I want my money back for that, too.
So, Chris, concerned that the legislature not acting, especially in the early times of the pandemic, Representative Thiesfeld?
Well, I am not certain how that would come about. As far as I would assume, she's talking about during 2020. And during that period of time, the legislature was out of session. And we, in fact, did come back into session. I believe it was in March or April, and we did pass a slate of bills. So what I believe she's indicating is not accurate.
I want to land here on school vouchers. 19 schools joining Wisconsin's program that allows families below a certain income threshold to use vouchers to attend private schools. Your colleagues have supported extending vouchers to all families regardless of income level. Why take this step in the program?
Because parents should be able to decide where their children are educated, what best suits their needs. And the government's interest in this is that children are educated. I don't understand why the government would be confused, why a government would object to a family deciding that they would like to have an education at a private school if the private school is willing to have them.
Well, I think the fear here is that you expand the number of charter schools, and that means that essentially you defund public schools where 90% of students are enrolled. And should Wisconsin be concerned about that expansion? That's the heart of it.
No, I don't see there's a concern there. If the public schools believe that they are doing a better job of educating their students, then they have nothing to be concerned about. Parents will want to go there. The competition aspect of school is an important aspect of it. Schools are collaborative, but they're also competitive. And if we have, I would say one of my proudest accomplishments in my time in the legislature has been the expansion of options and making sure that the public is aware of those options. It is good to give people opportunity to try different things. And my colleagues and I have been very successful in setting that possibility up for parents across the state in my time in the legislature.
So if you increase the number of charter schools, do you need to build up a more robust system to regulate them? What about accountability and scrutiny?
Well, are you speaking specifically of charter schools, or are you speaking of choice schools in terms of accountability?
Expanding charter schools.
Mm-hmm. Charter schools are public schools. They have numerous accountability measures. But the other point with charter schools, too, is that charter schools, the intention of them is to do things differently. And if you're going to do things differently, you certainly have to have certain types of regulation. But if you're going to do things differently, you have to be given some freedom to try some things. And so there's certainly is a measure of freedom that's involved in that other schools don't have. And I just think in general, there's too much regulation in schools.
And so that goes back to the Parental Bill of Rights. I think you're saying there that you really want parents to be in the driver's seat here and to reduce the power that school districts have.
There is no more important component to a successful school than parent engagement. I think that if you were to somehow quantify the amount of parent engagement that a school has and would go from school to school and measure that, you would find that the best schools have the most parental engagement. So we ought to be encouraging this, not pushing it aside and kind of indicating to parents that what they want doesn't matter.
Representative Thiesfeld, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. I appreciate the opportunity.
Republican Representative Jeremy Thiesfeld of Fond du Lac chairs the Assembly's Committee on Education. He was first elected to the Assembly in 2010. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is a State Capitol Report on The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.